everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy John, engineering and producing the show. Welcome to our program. It is Tuesday, the 5th of July, 2022. Hope everybody had a wonderful Independence Day weekend. The Buckmaster Show, broadcasting from the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio at 10:30. Tucson's voice for trusted news talk, KVOI. Worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. Our live line, when we do our telephone interviews, which we will do quite a few today, actually four, is presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go now to our contributor on Washington and governmental affairs, Terry Bracey, whose unique role in representing Tucson's interests began with a 10-year stint on the staff of the famed Congressman Morris K. Udall. Terry was then appointed to sub-cabinet by President Carter and subsequently served under four presidents of both parties. He's the founding partner of the respected public affairs firm Bracey Tucker Brown, which has worked on many of Tucson's successes in the nation's capital. Terry is also a contributing editor on the op-ed page. He had an op-ed in Sunday's Arizona Daily Star, which we will talk a little bit about during our session today. Terry, how are you?
Bill, I'm really great, but I have to say, Nancy and I were talking about, isn't that in the place in Chicago where you grew up, where all these shootings were?
Yeah, very very close. It's called the Chicago North Shore. A beautiful area just north of Chicago. It kind of goes Evanston, Wilmette, where I grew up. Then the next communities, Kenilworth, Winnetka, Glencoe, and Highland Park. They're all very close together. We competed against each other in sports. We all had very similar, growing up there, we had very similar 4th of July parades. I know my brother and I would decorate our bikes and we'd take part. I have to tell you, this really put a damper and made a very sad 4th of July for the Buckmaster household.
I bet it did. I mean, my Lord, and that's very stable, very stable areas, what Nancy was saying.
So yeah.
Some of it's quite wealthy. The rest of it is very stable, middle class, integrated. I don't know if we use that word anymore, but you don't think of racial problems.
No.
And my gosh, I'm just so sorry.
Well,
I hope none of your friends were involved.
Not that I know of, but I think the good news is there was some bipartisanship that came out of Washington with firearm reform, which President Biden signed, and that was one of the few cases, Terry Bracey, where we've seen bipartisanship.
Yeah, that's good news. You're starting to see a little bit of a turn, I think.
Terry, I want to talk a little bit about the testimony, your take on the Cassidy Hutchison testimony. Was this the worst day that President Trump has faced?
Well, it's the worst day so far, but, you know, Bill, if history is our guide, this may be the first of many bad days for the former president. You know, I suggested this when we began talking about these scandals, that it had the feel of Watergate. And didn't it to you, too? It had the feel of Watergate to me. And it starts when things start falling apart. It starts with a drip, 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 but nothing spectacular. No revelation that would just knock out a government. But maybe that's happened.
You talked and I mentioned in the introduction, you are now a regular contributor to the Star, the op-ed piece that you wrote on Sunday's Arizona Daily Star. You wrote about the Hutchison testimony that may turn out to be as important as the revelation in the Watergate hearings on President Nixon's tapes. Go ahead and tell us a little bit more about that.
Well, it's kind of fascinating when you think about it. President Nixon probably wasn't going to be impeached. even though, you know, obviously there were very bad things that were done. But he was on his way to skating through this thing when all of a sudden one of his aides, who he barely knew, a guy named Alexander Butterfield, was called up to testify before the Watergate committee. And it's fascinating to me that he held exactly the same position 49 years ago that young peach-faced Cassidy holds today, or did hold. And that position is top aide to the chief of staff, not to the president. It's to the chief of staff. And the chief of staff is really the chief operating officer of the White House. And both of them, therefore, had very important jobs handling the daily mechanics of the White House, including dealing with the Secret Service for the president. And it made them flies on the wall. They saw everything, Bill.
Well, they could literally see or hear pretty much then everything in the small confines of the West Wing, couldn't they?
Yeah, and people don't realize how small the West Wing is. I should have said that Butterfield's, what he gave away was that President Nixon actually taped everything in the White House. And when the Congress learned about that, they demanded the tapes, and when the tapes were in their hands, that was curtains for President Nixon. Well, but talking about the White House, I'm trying to think of it. If you go to a well-sized home, say out by Ventana Canyon, or one of the semi-large ranch homes, and take the first floor of that home, no more, just the first floor, that's about the size of the West Wing. So you're standing on top of each other. You know, I remember when I was assistant secretary in one government, we would meet every Friday morning in the Roosevelt Room. And you could literally hear the president conducting business in the other room, you know, which was the Oval Office. So that's how close it is. And so these people are going to pick up absolutely everything. And the problem, I think, Bill, that both presidents had is they didn't pay any attention to staff that was below the top two or three. They used them, and they saw them functioning, but they didn't really know who they were, and they didn't take the time to get to know who they were. So it didn't – go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you also mentioned in your column that you spoke with your friend, former Senator Bill Bradley. What was his take? What was his take on what we've seen unfold?
Well, I think Bill had largely, Senator Bradley had largely the same kind of take I had on the intimacy of the West Wing and how you have to really be careful. But the other thing that Bill talked about was that, you know, eventually a government that's run on fantasies, on conspiracy theories, frankly, on lies, eventually the American people, although they may be excited about that president or that candidate for a long period of time, and Lord knows Trump was a very engaging speaker, still is, but Senator Bradley felt that the American people are much more logical, and they realize that their lives are a lot more complicated than what's being put out. And it takes something like this, some real act and revelation that brings that person down in their eyes. I mean, throwing your lunch across the room, throwing tomato sauce up against the wall in the president's dining room. Mm-hmm. I mean, these are sacred places for America, and it's the kind of behavior you would expect of a very ill-trained child.
Hey, Terry, we're basically out of time, but a quick impression on where are we in the Biden administration? Is this salvageable? His ratings are so low. What do you think?
Well, it's true that his ratings are low, but you have to think about what he came in with. He came in with this 100-year, plague, basically.
Pandemic,
and
yeah.
And he had to deal with that. And then, one thing after the other, he gets a war thrown at him. And just one thing after the other, Bill. And I think when you look overall, and people will start looking overall at where they are, they have jobs. They didn't have jobs before. There are a lot of things that the president has done really well. The one thing I hope you'll ask Shelley about is this inflation thing. I'm completely baffled by the solution to this, and I would love to hear what he has to say.
I'll ask him. He's on the line, and he'll be joining us from San Diego in a few minutes. Shelley will be coming up, and I want to thank you very much, Terry. Have a great rest of your day. Thanks.
Thank you, Bill.
All right. Terry Bracey with us on the live line. Shelley Fishman is next on the Buckmaster Show, and I will ask that question that Terry brings up, because we talk a lot about inflation with Shelley, and we'll talk some more right after this. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
Delivering a $2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. The Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com. Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Shelley Fishman is a financial consultant in private practice in Tucson, Arizona. The views expressed during this segment are his own and don't necessarily represent those of this station or of Bill Buckmaster Communications. Contact Shelley through buckmastershow.com or at shelleyfishman.com.
And we're going to contact Shelley Fishman right now on our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Shelley, enjoying the second week of his San Diego vacation. Shell, how are you?
I'm well, Bill. How are you doing today?
Doing pretty well. The markets have rebounded a little bit, maybe cutting about two-thirds of what at one point was a 650-point down day. I think it's down about 250 right now. But overall, things as we begin the second half of the year, we just had the first half of the year was the worst, I believe, since 1970, Shelley, on the stock market.
Yeah, it depends on which index you use, but let's just call it a pretty rotten start to the year.
Yeah, you bet. Well, what about Terry Bracey's question asking me to ask you, which I'll gladly do, and we pretty much talk about it every week here on the show, the inflation piece.
So the inflation piece is, if you take a look at it in the political context, the inflation piece is the one thing that is going to be the most difficult politically for President Biden to overcome. And the reason is that, you know, it takes some time for inflation to build up, and it also takes some time for inflation to ease. Now, what we know is that inflation is already easing. Inflation in the second quarter was less than inflation in the first quarter. We know that, for instance, in just the past week or so, the price of oil is down 20 cents per gallon. We know that the supply chain problems are easing dramatically. We know that just in general that inflation, which was really promulgated, if you will, by supply chain and all of the effects that we can attribute to the pandemic, we know that those effects are slowly going away. Now, the question for Terry is, what is the political boundary after which even brilliant results won't have an effect on voters? I can't answer that question. What I can say is there's some more things that Biden has in his quiver, some arrows that he can shoot at high prices, some that he probably has already thought about and wants to take action on, including an oil tax or a gasoline tax holiday. And another is potentially easing the tariffs that the Trump administration put on China, but also on some of our other trading partners that are adding to the price of everything we buy.
So, Shelley, is there a way to protect your portfolio from a recession, or should you even be worrying about it? Is this just should you just continue riding these waves right now and just wait for better days?
So you use the R word. I thought we had an agreement. No. The idea that there may be a recession is an idea out there meant to scare people. And scared people will actually cause a recession to happen more quickly and more deeply than it otherwise would have. So let's say what I always say about recessions. Yes, there will be one. The question is when and how deep that recession will be. We're hearing, I think, less and less worries from corporations about an impending recession because their second quarter results are turning out to be pretty darn good. And their third quarter forecasts, now that they're clearing inventories off the shelves, are also tending to be, you know, fairly positive, though we'll have to listen to what advice they give us when they talk about the third and fourth quarter for the rest of the year. That said, any number of unknowns can throw the economy into a tailspin. but nothing that I know on the horizon would cause a recession to occur in the next two quarters. Now, that said, we might already be there. We don't know what the second quarter results were. We know that the first quarter results were down, and two quarters in a row, and, you know, you've got a recession. So let's see in about 3 weeks what we hear about the GDP growth in the second quarter. See if we get some revisions in the first quarter, which I'm hoping we will. And though the growth won't be anything like the 5 or 6% that we kind of got used to in the last couple of quarters of 2021, I think what we're going to see is the likelihood of a recession, absent any new, you know, disastrous pieces of bad luck, which seems to follow the president around in any case, absent, you know, any more bad news, I think the economy is going to show growth this year. It won't be huge growth. It'll be in the area of 2 to 2.5%, and that's really, you know, pretty respectable in historical terms.
Recessions are typically characterized as kind of a job meltdown, and we haven't had that right now, Shelley, at least for now. The economy continues to crank out jobs.
Absolutely, Bill. I mean, there's, you know, as time moves along and history moves, you know, further and further in the past, because that's what history always does, it becomes more and more difficult to use historical precedent to determine what's going to happen in the future. And so when we have a jobs picture the way we do, which is phenomenal, unemployment, you know, down in the 3.5% range, and more jobs than people to fill them, and when we have a lot of cash floating around because, you know, simply there's a lot of stimulus money that hasn't been spent, and still a lot of pent-up demand as a result of people not having spent a bunch of money during the pandemic. I mean, just take a look for an example, and I know I'm rambling, I apologize, but if you take a look, for example, at the people who traveled over the 4th of July weekend, now, many of them are still traveling because they can't find their
way home.
They sure
are. For lots of reasons. That's for sure.
But it was the heaviest traffic 4th of July in like a decade.
Mm-hmm.
And despite the fact that gas prices are abnormally high, the number of people who took to the road seems to also have been at record levels. So when you put that against the stories you're hearing about consumer confidence being low, you scratch your head and go, wait a second, maybe people are answering polling questions one way and behaving another way.
Yeah.
And that could very well be the case. I mean, we see that not uncommon phenomenon happen when people's attitudes say one thing, but their behavior is not reflecting their attitudes. We'll have to see what again, when we see the GDP numbers, we'll see how spending in consumer services and consumer goods, how that has changed, if it's improved from first quarter. Then we'll know a little bit more. But to get to your original question, which was really linked to what's an investor to do, well, if you really believe that there's going to be a recession, that's going to be soon, and that's going to be deep, then you say that the 20% hit the markets have taken so far this year is only the beginning of the story, and you talk to your financial advisor about what can you do to protect your portfolio. If you think, as I do, that things are going to get better from here, you sit still.
Well, I will point out, Shelley, that there was a survey of a bunch of economists, and they expect the unemployment rate to hold at 3.6%. And today we had the news that the factory orders in May showed stronger than expected growth. So this economy still humming along.
Absolutely. And so, to the extent that a lot of the bad news is politically motivated, you have to brush it off. to the extent that there's a real basis in what's going on to explain some of the bad news, then you really have to think long and hard about where you sit, what you believe is going to happen, and your guess is probably as good as anybody else's, and take actions as an investor or as a potential retiree or as you know, just somebody who worries about their economic conditions every day, and you have to take actions to protect yourself. I wouldn't do it out of panic. You know, the old story about if you write an email at 11 at night, the rule is never send it. The same thing is if you wake up in the middle of the night and worried about your economic condition, worried about your financial condition, don't take any action without consulting the experts that you would normally think about consulting because you're liable to start chasing the curve, and that's the worst thing you can do.
Good advice, Shelley Fishman. I hope you enjoy what's left of this day in beautiful San Diego. The weather should be perfect, right?
It is absolutely, you know, it's hot the first week we got here. It is now normal, which is perfect.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's predicted to be a little bit warmer, but to complain about this would be to complain about heaven.
Thanks, Shell. Have a great afternoon.
You too, Bill.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com. For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. And your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. I almost said Monday edition. When we have those three-day holidays, Tuesday does feel like a Monday, but it's Tuesday. And we're midway through our Tuesday edition in the Green Things, Zocalo Village Studios, Green Things, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. There was a collective sigh from all of the Green Things when they finally got some rain. Over the weekend, we had about an inch and a quarter, actually, on Saturday, which was nice in the central foothills. So things are starting to green up over at Green Things. Good time to get some plants into your garden, some color for the late summer and into the fall. It's greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. Our live line presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. We're going to go now on the live line to our friend Dr. Mark Sykes, CEO and Director of the Planetary Science Institute. For 50 years now, a Tucson-based nonprofit engaged in the exploration of the solar system. How are you, Dr. Sykes?
Very relaxed after that nice weekend.
Oh, I bet you had a good time. You were doing a bit of traveling, and all went well. You didn't get caught up in any of the crazy madness of the airlines.
No, I was very pleased that my flight was not canceled.
Hey, that's the big winner when your flight is not canceled.
Yeah.
Hey, NASA is now considering or interested in nuclear thermal propulsion to send people to Mars. As I recall, this is something more than 20 years ago you had talked about in a proposal for a orbiter to go to Pluto.
Well, there's nuclear thermal and there's nuclear electric.
Okay.
And nuclear thermal is what they're proposing as a possible. It's twice as efficient as chemical. Use a nuclear reactor to heat up something like hydrogen and shoot it out the back end, you know, like the things where you stick the candle under the little water thing and it pushes the vehicle ahead. And so they're thinking about that. 20 years ago, I proposed a nuclear electric mission, which was where you use the nuclear energy to power up a grid where you strip the electrons off of a heavy nucleus like xenon and send it through this short grid to a very high velocity. And so it very slowly accelerates the spacecraft. It's what we used on the Dawn mission to Ceres and Venus. But 20 years ago, or not Venus, Ceres and Vesta, 20 years ago, I proposed using a 1,000-kilowatt uranium nuclear reactor to launch an orbiter to Pluto using the xenon thrusters. So it's very slowly accelerating, then very slowly decelerating, but it would get to Pluto in like 7 years. And deliver a couple thousand kilograms of payload.
But the United States completely backed off of that level of power. And now going a different direction.
Yeah, that nuclear reactor was being designed for, you know, the plan back then, talk about sending people to the moon and also some missions out of Jupiter, and they ended up canceling that reactor program. But now nuclear power in space is coming up again, but they're looking at, instead of 1,000 kilowatts, like 5 to 10 kilowatts. And so now China is interested in using kind of that level of technology, 10, 20 kilowatts of sending a mission, nuclear electric mission to Neptune. and in the next decade. And that would be exciting. It'd be more exciting if they were using 1,000 kilowatts, but, you know, they actually have that on the books. So they're talking about doing the tens of kilowatts now, then hundreds, then 1,000, you know, down the road. So they're planning to go in that direction, which the mission they're thinking right now is sends a few hundred kilograms of payload to Neptune. But boy, when you're in orbit around an object, there's so much more you could do than when you're just flying by.
So is this the latest thinking about the Mars mission, this particular propulsion system?
Well, what can I say? you know, it's still an expensive proposition to send a person or people to Mars and bring them back. And, you know, in the trillion-dollar, you know, type category. So it's fun to talk about. It's fun to think about new different kinds of propulsion systems. And the nuclear thermal, I would point out, was something that I'd also been working on with Idaho National Labs to establish a self-sustaining space transportation system using, as a reaction mass, ice, water, from near-Earth asteroids to go out there, mine that up, put it in the tank, heat it up, spit it out the back, and end up bringing net material back to Earth orbit. This was in 1994.
Mm.
So it's nice to see some of these pretty old ideas getting some new traction out there.
You know, Mark, I watched a movie over the weekend, an oldie. It was called Mission to Mars by the famed director Brian De Palma. And it was made in 2001, but the year that the movie takes place is 2020. It's and I was thinking, it's amazing how optimistic Hollywood movie makers have been about our space exploration, or lack of will to carry through space exploration.
Well, the challenge is when you're just focusing on being able to say we're going to be successful, then you're not necessarily taking on challenges that's going to be giving you something new in terms of capability. And I think back, I think I've said this before, back to, you know, 1969, mm-hmm. Or maybe I should say back to 1969, and that if somebody had asked me back then, where do you think we'll be in the year 2000? Well, we went from nothing to the moon in 8 years. In 30 more years, I would have said, well, we've colonized the moon and Mars and have our first spacecraft heading off to a star system.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. I know.
But I think that I like to think that we're naturally optimistic, and so I think that that's something that, you know, if we had people that with vision to take on some challenges, that they would find a, you know, an audience that they could pitch it to.
All right, Mark Sykes, always a pleasure. Thank you very much, Mark. And I want
to
tell our listeners about where they can find out more about the Planetary Science Institute. It's psi.edu. I'm a member, and I strongly support your organization, Dr. Sykes, because it, quite honestly, it's good for Tucson. It's good for business. You've got mm-hmm. a bunch of people that really, it's an economic development driver, isn't it?
We're probably the largest employer of planetary scientists in the world.
Yeah.
And, I mean, we're headquartered here at Tucson. We've got people in 30 states and other locations. And so they're bringing in money and resources to a wide range of communities, including Tucson. And we're very proud of that.
All right, Mark, have a great day. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
Delivering a $2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. The Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Hi, this is Tom Sullivan. Join me weeknights from 7 to 10 for the Tom Sullivan Show on 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. We are in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Great time of year to get away to Silver City. And I can guarantee it will be cooler over there. They're at about 5,000 to 7,000 feet elevation, which usually translates into about a 10-degree cooler day over in Silver City. It looks really nice there today. Low 80s, where we're in, we're going to be pushing 100 degrees, and right now they're in the low 80s. 3-hour drive, not bad at all, over to Silver City, then do some hiking in the Gila National Wilderness. Just hang out in historic Silver City, some wonderful Victorian architecture, and some great places to eat and stay. Learn more at southwestnewmexico.org. Once a month, we do our arts report with Margaret Regan, who is the longtime, in fact, let's see, she is in her 32nd or 33rd year writing about the arts in the Tucson Weekly. She's also a longtime journalist who started writing about the border in the year 2000, has come up with two prize-winning books on immigration. She's doing very well and always very busy. Margaret, how are you?
Very busy.
Very busy, I know. And, you know, I was thinking about what you were writing about in the Tucson Weekly as the guys are hammering on our roof, putting in a new roof.
That's
I know. Great
noise.
Time. Great timing,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Anyway, that's what the noise is all about. Anyway, this would be a good time to take refuge from our very hot and muggy days by going to one of our art museums.
Yes. And I do want to mention before I talk about that, we had a death yesterday. Peggy Dugan, an amazing artist who Oh, I just love her. She was very good at painting women's bodies in a very exciting way that other people never did. And she was a professor at the U of A for many years, and I think she was the first female artist who was given that job. So I just want to take off a hat to her, Peggy Dugan. She was a wonderful person and did a lot for Tucson.
The name is familiar. I recall that name, and just died over the weekend, are you saying?
Yesterday. I heard yesterday that she died.
Oh, boy. Sorry.
An older woman, but, you know, she's had a great life. So.
Sorry to hear that. Anyway.
Her briefly. I know we hadn't planned to talk about her. But, yeah, a good place to get out of the hot weather here is going to any kind of art museum. And I wrote about a couple of them this week. I could have done many more if I had the time. But the first one I want to talk about is a very interesting show at the Tucson Museum of Art. I just want to read a little bit how I started that story. He's a really interesting guy, very in everywhere. You know, people are always wanting to get them into their shows, but we finally got him here in Tucson. His name is Brad Kalhammer. Now he has fond issues with Tucson. I'll just read a little bit. On a night in 1956, Brad Kalhammer arrived on the 11:15 to Tucson, and his curator Julie Sassi says, metaphorically, Kalhammer is waiting for the 11:59 to Tucson to take him back to his belongings. He's a renowned artist and musician, and he was born in Tucson that night, not in the train, but he liked to send it that way. But he never learned who his birth parents were, and he was adopted by a white couple, and they told him that his parents were native, but that was all they knew. And the mystery of his identity has been with him ever since, and it's crucial to his art. So if you go over to the Tucson Museum of Art, you will see many, many, many wild paintings of his own body and his own face and many native people. The pictures are really something. They're big and wild and bold, and he's just, you know, really interested in native peoples and who they are and you know, and how that relates to him. So that's a really great show that I think it's going to go through September, so very worthwhile to go.
And that show, have they had his work in the past?
I don't think so. I think Julie told me that they had been trying to get him here for a very long time, and so this has finally happened. As far as I know, it's the first time he was there, and it's a great big show. Couples, you know, all the rooms were filled with it, and really nice to see.
There's a show called, well, actually, it's part of Sculpture Tucson. What is that about?
Yeah, are you familiar with Tucson?
No.
Oh, okay. It's a new group that started a couple of years ago. Barbara Grigudis, who's a wonderful sculpture artist who does a lot of stuff outside of Tucson, she was one of the people to begin the thing. It's, I think, maybe 3 years old. And the idea is to have more sculptures all around Tucson. And they got a place in one of the parks. Let's see, it's the Brandy Fenton Memorial Park on River Road, very close to where you are right now, I guess.
Yeah.
They have a little space there, and they put a lot of sculptures around that park, but they're also doing them now all around the city. But so that's a good thing to learn, but right now what we're doing is they're doing something quite different from what they usually do. I wrote that they were trying to make metal hooks on for size. If I told you a hook, what would you think that was?
A metal hook?
A metal hook.
Something to hang something on.
Yeah. Well, so there's this guy from Canada. His name is Matt Jenkins, and he's renowned for his hooks. He's he's a blacksmith, and he makes these gorgeous hooks that would, you know, they could be like your household handles, but probably his are a lot fancier and, you know, beautiful pieces of art. So during the pandemic, he had this project that he was going to make a new hook every single day of the year, and he did. 366 of them, because there was a
leap year.
Leap year.
Yeah.
So
leap day.
They're very interesting. I haven't seen them, but I saw the pictures that they sent. So they're just very lovely things with really interesting forms and designs. And so they're having a little show indoors, good thing this time of year, and people can come in and see the hooks.
And that is over, that's an exhibition that's free. It's open to the public, runs Tuesday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., and the show will be up through Monday, August 15th. And that is at the Post House in the Brandy Fenton Memorial Park on River, and it is air-conditioned, so that's good news.
And it's close to Bill Buckmaster. So
well, that's yeah, that's close to Green Things, which is one of our great sponsors. What about the Contreras Gallery, real quickly? They've also got a show that's up.
Yeah, I always love this show that they do in the summer. It's called Tucson, and any artist that wants to be in the show has to do something to Tucson. The rule is Tucson and anything that relates to it. It's people, culture, agriculture, landscape, you name it, even bugs. So this year there are 9 people in it, and they're, you know, some of the usual things, cacti, flowers, blue skies. But I thought this year that they were very strong in architecture, and there are all these interesting paintings of unusual places in Tucson. One of them is the Buffett Empire Dive. It's named Richard Engesser did a really nice painting on it. And he had an old man who's like lounging against the wall of the empire, as they call it, looking not too good. But it was interesting the way the artist painted it. Everything was nice and neat and carefully done and beautiful, beautiful colors, nicely painted. So it was sort of a contrast to what was happening in the dive place.
I was going to say the name of the show, Tucson, runs through August 26, Contreras Gallery, 110 East 6th Street, Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., and they do require you to wear a mask. And quickly, Ballet Tucson's founder has decided to retire.
Yeah, right. This is big news in the ballet world, and you know I love to dance. Of my job.
Mm-hmm.
Mary Beth Cabana, she, you know, founded Ballet Tucson. It's well over 30 years. I think it may be about 35 years, and she's taught so many children in Tucson and made, you know, a lot of work, a lot of the students growing up to be, you know, ballet people themselves. But so one of them, she's the new artistic director, succeeding Mary Beth. She was a little girl here in Tucson, and she was taught everything she learned through Mary Beth. And then she had an extraordinary career. She was at the Pacific Northwest Ballet in Seattle. That's one of the best ones in the country. And she's early 30s now. She decided she wanted to do other kinds of things.
Good.
Now we have this wonderful young, you know, very energetic new artist who will be running the show there.
Very good. Margaret Regan, always a pleasure. We will look for your work in the Tucson Weekly. Thanks, Margaret.
Okay, thanks, Bill.
All right, that's going to wrap it up for the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of John, hitting all the right buttons in the control room, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Hope you have a great Tuesday afternoon.